we can celebrate in a different way. Yes? Taking shelter of the holy name is the theme of this time spent together. So whatever the position is, and however many lifetimes, my intention this evening is to set the mood and the focus on precisely that, the taking deeper shelter, whatever shelter you are able to take or have been able to take, to more deeply take shelter. Tomorrow, you'll hear from Abhiram Prabhu on what it means to take shelter. What does it mean? Take shelter. Those of you that were here for the Thanksgiving discussion on Tattva Sandarbha, the last section that we discussed was the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and of the 10 topics, one of them is ashraya, which means shelter, so it's a noun, as opposed to the verb, taking shelter. And that ashraya topic, or Krishna, is the shelter of all other topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The other 9 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam are embellishments or further elucidations on this root, one main topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, as the shelter of everything. So it fits in very nicely that Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching the shelter of everything, and we're now discussing 1 month later, taking shelter of that shelter. There's a phrase in Bhakti Sandarbha, very beginning, is again Jiva Goswami. The Bhakti Sandarbha is the largest, by far, the largest of the other Sandarbhas, explaining the process of devotional service, Abhideya. The process of devotional service begins with surrender. And Jiva Goswami begins the whole long Bhakti Sandarbha by asking a question. How does material life begin? Because if you understand how material life begins, you can understand how to exit. There's the door through which we came. And when it's time to go, you know how to exit because you go through the door from which we came. So how do we come into the material world? And he says, some people say this and refutes it, some people say that, refutes it, some people say another thing, refutes it, etc. And then says the real reason is, the root cause of material existence is, is ignorance. We have ignored Krishna. Bahir Mukha Jeev is the phrase that he uses in Sanskrit. Bahir, just like in our Nrisingha prayers, Bahir Nrisingha, Hridaye Nrisingha, where is Lord Nrisingadev? Where is Lord Vishnu? He's everywhere. He's within the heart, he's in the pillar, he's everywhere. Bahir Nrisingha, Hridaye Nrisingha. So he's outside and he's inside. He's everywhere. So Bahir means away or outside, away, Bahir Mukha. Turn your face, Mukha, away from Krishna. Living entity ignores Krishna. And from that root, ignorance, comes all other categories of ignorance. Just like this body. Sharira avidya. We all like prasadam. And we say, Sharira avidya. We think, you know, we're looking forward to taking prasadam. But the verse is saying, this sharira, this body, is a lump. This is how Prabhupada translated, a lump of ignorance. And that ignorance is the byproduct of the original ignorance. We wouldn't have one of these if we hadn't done that. And so how to get rid of these? Can't just get a paring knife and whittle it away. You have to remove ignorance. And so, samukha, turning one's mukha again to Krishna. Turning one's attention again to Krishna. And that's the process of surrender. That's what our subject matter is for this evening and then for this weekend together. Taking shelter of Ashraya, the shelter of all shelters, the cause of all causes, he from whom everything has come. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives four reasons why pious people take shelter of him. They're in distress. They want relief from their distress. Or they're in a financially stressful circumstance, so they take shelter of Krishna. Or they're simply curious. Or they're wanting knowledge of the four, the one wanting still. When they get some knowledge, maybe their submission slackens. They think, now I'm okay. I've got knowledge. They become a little proud of their knowledge. And submission slackens, and again, ignorance. It would be nice at some point to experience the life of a sannyasi. It's a very nice lifestyle. And one of the things that sannyasis experience, you probably also experience, but certainly a major part of my experience is people coming with some distress. Especially when you get to know them a little bit. Many people are private, but you get to know them a little bit. And when they feel there's some shelter and some trust, they'll share their difficulty. And it's the nature of being in this material world. It's dukkhalayam, ashashvatam. It's the nature. It's just the nature of the place. So, why are we in this place? I mean, the right question is how to not be in this place anymore, not just, here's a difficulty, how do I address the difficulty? There's no harm in asking such a question. But, the bigger question is, how do we get in this circumstance, material existence circumstance, to begin with? And supposing you have a nice... Supposing you don't, but supposing even you have a nice solution for a particular circumstance or a number of circumstances. There is always, and the honest person will understand, especially a devotee will understand, a sense of something's missing, just like Vyasadeva was experiencing after compiling all the Vedas. Something's missing. Being alone. I mean, not necessarily that we have to dwell on, I feel loneliness. There's a lot of loneliness in this world. But there's something missing, something incomplete, a feeling of that. And ultimately, just a scriptural something and a practical something. First, the practical something. I was riding in the subway many years ago, like many, many years ago, with Rupanuga Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's intimate disciples, who started the college program where I became a devotee at the University of Buffalo. So he later became the president in the New York Temple. We were riding together in a train going to take care of some official something for the temple. And looking around the subway car, he leaned over and said, "In their heart of hearts, everyone is fearful." I felt something had struck him, and he was just sharing it, that they don't know if they're even going to get to the destination. They don't know. And the reality is, we don't know either. But are we going to get to the, you know, such and such stop on the train, or you get in your car and you're going to where you're going, and one day you're not going to get there. That's for sure. So we really don't know. And if it's natural to be fearful, or it's folly to not be, you know, to just be oblivious to uncertainty. Prabhupada describes this as human life. An animal, he's at the slaughterhouse, he's just chewing happily, although all the other animals before him are being slaughtered. So the human life is to recognize we're in a precarious situation. In fact, taking shelter means a place where it's safe. I don't know if you've noticed, I've noticed, because I travel. In airports that have their tornado prone, like in the certain parts of the Midwest, they have a sign, you know, this is the shelter where you go in case there's a tornado. You know, it's safe. Taking shelter means we can then feel safe. We don't have to fear. We can leave material existence behind where we're fending for ourselves. And we have Krishna's protection. And this is one of the angas of surrender that we're going to be hearing when we hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur protected. It's one of the limbs. And the angi, that of which the others are angas, is this position of being in Krishna's protection, being in Krishna's shelter, being surrendered unto Krishna. Goptritve varanam tava. Jiva Goswami describes this in his Bhakti Sandarbha. We're hearing some of Bhakti on this subject. The scriptural message, there's many, but I said this several times during the Tattva Sandarbha seminar. Bhayam dvatiyam abhiniveshitaksyat. Remember that one? Bhayam means sham. Dvatiyam means shelter in something else. You take shelter, and a binivesh is more than shelter, it's absorption. Anything else? Pick anything else and get absorbed in anything else but Krishna, that's material life. Vayam dutiyam abhinivesitakshat viparyayo smritihi. Being surrendered to Krishna, you take shelter of something else, become absorbed in something else, and feel fear. I mean, somebody may bluff. They have decals. No fear. It's a bluff. Or one is an animal. So we're moving out of animal into human and beyond. That's what taking shelter means. And taking shelter starts with our scriptural process is taking shelter of those who have taken shelter. So I'm going to do three little exercises. And then I'm going to go to our slide. The first exercise is, in your mind, with your eyes closed or with your eyes open or as you wish, think of your spiritual master or the person who intimately guides you most in your spiritual life, and silently for 2 or 3 minutes just offer some thoughtful prayer to that person. He accept you and give you shelter. We'll move to the holy name, but we'll start with those that represent Krishna in your life. For some of you, that's maybe very easy because you feel a strong connection. And because of that strong connection, you feel some safety and some shelter and some well-being. But supposing in some cases it's a little more difficult, some cases it's very difficult. So next is the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly the Goswamis in Vrindavan, where they were in the position of full shelter, but they were searching for Krishna. Now part of this, the message here in the mood is for wanting to take shelter of Krishna, there has to be a desire. And the desire that's personalized, meaning in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, we don't so much have a strong desire to be in Krishna's service. Although what Jiva Goswami says, he explains this verse, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Vai Bhakti Lata Bija. The Bija or the seed of Bhakti is what you receive, that which marks the beginning of your Krishna consciousness is the seed of a desire to be in Krishna's service. The seed of a desire to be in Krishna's service, when properly nurtured by the surrendering process, grows and grows. And then there's some strong affinity for the service to Krishna and strong affinity then for the person who's being served. You become attached, not just to the activities of devotional service, but to the person. not just the kirtan, but the name, and attached to the name. That's a mature state. And then with attached to the name, the form and qualities and pastimes and so forth. One enters into that spiritual realm. But when that stage is not so well developed, you can offer prayers and take shelter of those who are in that position. Hey Radhe, Rajadevi ke Chalalite, Inanda Sunasuta. This nice description of the six Goswamis, that they were all, using vernacular, they were already there. They were already with Krishna, and Krishna was with them. But their mood was the mood of searching for Krishna. There was a strong desire to be with Krishna, in Krishna's service. Where is Krishna now? Is he on the side of Govardhan Hill? Is he by the river Jamuna? Oh, Krishna, where are you? Yeah? Same as Madhavendra Puri, that famous verse of Radharani hankering for Krishna's association. What shall I do now? That desire may not be so mature in us, but it's mature in our disciplic succession members. And so I invite you, at whatever stage of understanding and appreciation you have of those exalted followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in your mind, pick one or some, Rupa Goswami or whoever you like, Jiva Goswami or Gopal Bhatta Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami or Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and pray for their mercy, for them to accept your submission and surrender to them, so that reaching Krishna that they have will be transmitted to you. This is opening the heart and receiving from them. So please do that for 2-3 minutes. Are in to be in a mood of samukha, of our face turned towards Krishna. So those who have that capacity, we want their mercy. It's a Gaudiya Vaishnav thing. not just a tradition. It's the mood of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Connecting with Krishna and our eternal relationship with Him, receiving the mercy of exalted souls. Next is a meditation moving up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Himself, the munificent giver, most munificent giver of Krishna Prema, who wants to give Krishna Prema to us, just we don't want to receive from Him enough. The shortage is on our side, not on His side. So I want to read some verses, and since the curtain is closed, we can't look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but you can, if you, this is your temple, you can picture in your mind the Gaura-Nitai deity, or in the temple that you've come from, or in your home, or the Panchatattva in Mayapur, picture the person in his deity form, is what I'm requesting, while we hear Rupa Goswami speaking about his shelter taking in Lord Chaitanya. He has been with Lord Chaitanya. He wants to be with Lord Chaitanya again. Because Lord Chaitanya has left the world. He wants to see him and be with him. Lord Chaitanya, there's 8 verses. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always the most worshipable Brahma who came in the garb of ordinary men bearing love for him. He instructed his own pure devotional service to his own devotees. When will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the protector of the demigods, be-all and end-all of all the great sages. He is the beautiful shelter of his devotees, and he is the essence of love of the lotus-eyed gopis. When will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? Note, I mean, the emphasis here is the searching, like followers of Srila Prabhupada, for example, who had developed deepest attachment to him, and not just remembering the good old days, but wanting to be in his direct association. Of course, direct association can be through instructions and abiding by instructions, but the impetus for service is this mood, the searching mood of wanting the place of shelter for Rupa Goswami. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please appreciate the searching heart mood. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has manifested his own form. And what does that form look like? It cannot be compared to anything in this material universe. He is very dear to he is respectful to Paramananda Puri. He takes away the ignorance of the material world. And he delivers the conditioned souls who are suffering from the threefold miseries. He showered his mercy on Maharaj Prataparudra, the king of Orissa. When will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? The refrain is very important. It's glorification, glorification, but hankering, searching eagerly for that deep personal connection, seeing his form again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes maddened by tasting the mellows of devotional service. His effulgent form is the abode of sweetness for millions of cupids. He is the crest jewel of all sannyasis. His garments are the color of the effulgence of the sun. And the splendor of his body eclipses the beauty of gold. When will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? Mood of separation and the mood of hankering at the same time. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in a loud voice, and the holy name dances on his tongue as he counts the number of recitations with his effulgent hands. His eyes are large, his arms are long, and they bend as he performs his pastimes. When will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? There's more. I just read one more. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost of all devotees. And sometimes in Jagannath Puri, when walking on the beach, he would see a beautiful garden nearby, and he would mistake it for the forest of Vrindavan, and he would thus become completely overwhelmed by ecstatic love for Krishna, and he would begin to chant the holy names, and he would dance. His tongue would work incessantly as he chanted, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. When will he again become visible before the path of my eyes? There was several more, but this is verses, stava, mala, mala or a string, a garland of stavas, of exaltations and appreciation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, immediately, the next set of stavamala prayers are to Krishna, the object of love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Transcendental poets or authors like Rupa Goswami, their words, if you hear them with attention, they'll create a picture in your heart, in your mind or in your heart. So listen in that way, not just for, you know, the content, the information content, but for the mood and the devotional image that this can stir in your heart. In words of glorification, his appreciation of his relationship with Krishna. I worship Lord Keshava, coming back from the forest of Braja. He wears a Priyaka flower earring, and on his head he has a crown of fully blossomed Malati flowers, and he is wearing a Brahmin thread of small fragrant and white jasmine flowers. This is his meditation on Krishna coming back. I worship Lord Keshava coming back from the forest of Braja. He is happily calling his stray Surabhi cows. You want to hear their names, because he gives their names. Oh, Prashangi! Oh, Manikastani! Oh, Pranatashingi! Oh, Pingakshana! Oh, Mridanga Mukhi! There's a group of cows, their head looks like a mridanga. It's a group. They call them Mridanga Mukhis. It's a whole, they call them the whole group based on calling the head of the group. Oh, Dumale. Oh, Shabali. Oh, Hangsi. Oh, Vangsi Priya. Rupa Goswami meditating. I worship Lord Keshava because this is going on. And Krishna is returning with thousands of Surabhi cows, with thousands of boys all singing and dancing along with him. And at the other end of town of Nandagaon await all the residents of Vrindavan who haven't seen him during the day, and they're missing him terribly. Reuniting with Krishna, yes? And the intense feelings of Sambhoga meeting. I worship Lord Keshava coming back from the forest on the pathway of Vraja. With the best of words, he makes his splendidly dressed and affectionate friends, who are all expert at art of pleasant jokes, he makes them smile and laugh. I worship Lord Keshava, coming back from the forest of Braja. His cheeks are licked by a stream of perspiration. He is decorated with pictures drawn in mineral colors from Giriraj Govardhan, and his curling black locks of hair deride the splendor of a swarm of bees. I worship Lord Keshava coming back from the forest of Braja. He beautifies the path with the marks of his feet, and he wears a garland of dust raised by the wandering cows, and his garments and peacock feather move with the waves of the wind. Imagine absorbing yourself in chanting the holy name, and these are the images that appear in your mind. This is what appears in Rupa Goswami's mind, and he's sharing it with us. I worship Lord Keshava coming back from the forest of Braja with the playful and sweet music of flute. He delights the hearts of the Braja's queens, and he makes all the gopis in their homes happy at heart. He makes the hairs of their body stand erect with ecstatic joy. I worship Lord Keshava coming back from the forest of Braja. He is worshipped by the gopis, who mount the roofs of their palaces and meet him. From the roofs of their palaces, they meet him with 100 manners of their dancing glances and their gentle smiles. The corner of his eyes wander around the gopis. So this is the fruit, this meditation upon Krishna's form and pastimes and his charming qualities, is the fruit of taking shelter of the holy name. We're not there. But to receive the mercy of those who are there will help us get there. And desiring the mercy of those who are there to get there is part of the process of surrender. So on the schedule that was sent out, it makes reference to this verse here from the 11th canto, chapter 19. It's spoken by Uddhava. Uddhava has been hearing and hearing and hearing in many chapters of hearing from Krishna, and already before hearing from Krishna, Uddhava is deeply attached to and hearing from Krishna, guess what? He's become more deeply attached to Krishna than he was before he heard deeply from Krishna. And how deep is that? So I put in colored letters this Abhihitasya and Abhivarshat. Abhivitasya is this, even those who have this Abhivitasya, they're constantly overwhelmed by threefold miseries, tormented on the terrible path of birth and death, there's solace. He says, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella. And Amrita Abhivarshat pours down showers of delicious nectar. Now, poetically, it's nice. But practically, umbrellas are to take away water, not to pour down a shower. It doesn't reference this directly, but when Prithu Maharaj, what became king, Prithu Maharaj came from the churning of the legs of Vena because he was so wicked. The chest. And when he came from the body of Vena, he was effulgent and such great relief. So Varuna gave a gift to Prithu Maharaj, an umbrella that you hold it over your head and it very light sprinkle. Because sometimes in India it gets hot. A very light sprinkle makes it cool. The heat of the sun is blocked and this little cooling shower of nectar would come. Besides, poetically, that's really practical. If you can have an umbrella like that, that's cool. When it's very hot. Very, very, very cool. And Uddhava is saying about Krishna that your lotus feet are like that. It's like an umbrella. A refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. It's a contradiction, but it's his appreciation of that which happens when you take shelter of Krishna. So when you take shelter of Krishna, those of you that are readers of Prabhupada's books, you know from Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 1, and the first two correspond with Sadhana Bhakti, and that's these two that are in colored letters. Kleshagni, one is relieved of this, avihatasya, gore means, like, sounds horrible, gory, awful, terrible. Those sufferings and one is, experiences unprecedented happiness, shubhata. All auspiciousness is brought in. This is in the surrendering process, just even in the sadhana stage of the surrendering process, the beginning stage. And to repeat, the beginning stage comes from the association of those who are mercifully of Krishna, empowered to give Krishna. We should be very mindful of that good fortune that we have all received. And when gratitude, it's no small thing, when gratitude enters the heart, then bhakti can grow, and it can grow up to the stage of prema. And if gratitude is absent, we're not going to get to prema. It's not going to happen. Our practice will be mechanical at best. But who can continue mechanical? For how long can you continue mechanical? For some time. But that mechanical isn't our hankering. The hankering is to be in our relationship with Krishna. Repeating something spoken earlier from Maharacharyas. That in the surrendering process, the proximate source of the downpouring of Krishna's mercy is essential, that submission and surrender unto those persons who are thus representing Krishna and Krishna's mercy. The exalted members of our disciplic succession, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and Krishna himself and Radha and Krishna. The name Krishna, there's a commentary given by Baladev Vidyabhusan to Vishnu Sahasranam. So the one to Vishnu includes Krishna. And this is his reference from Vishnu Sahasranam, taken directly from Gopal Thapani Upanishad. Whoops. There we go. The syllable Krish means existence, and the syllable na means bliss. The combination of these two is Krishna, the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, Prabhupada has called this the all-attractive, Krishna. And when we're attracted to the source of everything, the source of all bhagas, of all opulences, That's Krishna, the all-attractive. And he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jiva Goswami comments in this regard that when the word Krishna is uttered in a mantra, the very moment the first syllable is vibrated, this sound attracts the attention of Lord Krishna himself. Now this is stated, I'll stay with this slide for just a moment, because persons who heard this in previous presentations on this subject told me months later that this particular message has helped them a lot in their japa. I don't know if any of you have been present when Bibi Govinda Maharaj leads kirtan. Yes? Many have. I have been multiple times, and almost, not all, but almost all the times, depending on the audience, because once we were together in China, and he didn't say this, but he repeated something he had heard from Giriraj Maharaj long ago, which is, when you begin kirtan, make sure, pay special attention to hear the first words. Because if you don't hear the first words, you're not likely to hear the rest. If you do pay attention to hear the first words, you're likely to pay attention, more likely to pay attention to the rest. So when you, there's Maha Mantra or any other mantra where the word Krishna is there, Krishna himself is attracted. You don't even have to say the rest of the mantra or the rest of the word. The very message is described, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, this is what happened with the Jamila. Just hearing that his name was being called, Narayana. Lord Narayana felt, oh, he's calling my name. I'm obliged. I must come and protect him. So it's not something that's just from our side. It's from Krishna's side. Yes? It's a relationship. It's not a mechanical process. It's a devotional process. We're calling Krishna's name. Krishna's attention is drawn because we're calling Krishna. Now, we're inattentive, commonly, or partially attentive at best. But Krishna's not. Isn't it nice? Tomorrow, we're going to do a little exercise. And it's nice. And I hope Vatsal agrees to lead it. But we'll, at a certain point, after some songs on surrender by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we'll sit together in dyads, and you hear, you sit with a partner, and they'll chant, and you listen. And then you'll chant, and they'll listen. And then we'll chant before the deities, and he'll listen. Because when your point is, when you're chanting, someone's listening. Now people get a little nervous if someone's listening to their japa. They may not want somebody to hear their sloppy japa. But you know, they'll critique it as part of the exercise. And you'll find it's some of the best japa you'll chant the whole weekend is that, you know, 15, 20 minutes where you've got somebody listening to your chanting japa. But Krishna's listening whether it's in the japa retreat or in a dyad or not. Krishna's, it's our process is highly personal. And when from one's heart that submission unto Krishna is there, this is called mamata. This is Krishna speaking. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. This is Lord Vishnu speaking to Durvasa Muni. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Now, Krishna has the capacity to be exclusively conscious of each one of us, and there's no shortage of room for all of us. Our capacity is limited. His is unlimited. But it's mamata. And this mamata, as submission unto Krishna, surrender unto Krishna, matures, the beginning stage is beginning. I want to serve Krishna, I want Krishna's shelter, I want to chant the holy name, I want to be engaged in service to Krishna. As it matures, then the personal aspect becomes stronger, stronger, the darkness becomes less and less and brighter through the process of surrender and maturing of this mamata. In the mature stage, this is what it looks like. This is how we can overcome this negligence of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Again, from Vishnu Sahasranam, one of the 1,000 names of Krishna, is Vasu Mana. So Vasu, grandfather Bhishma, pictured here, was one of the 8 Vasus. It's a long story how that happened. So Vasu Mana, Baladev Vidyabhusan explains that in his commentary in Vishnu Sahasranam in this way. One day, Yudhisthira, Krishna was visiting in Hastinapur, and he went in to greet Krishna in the morning. When he went in to greet Krishna, he saw Krishna in meditation. He was wondering, why is Krishna, who's Krishna meditating upon? He's the personality of Godhead. And it went on for a long time. Long meditation. Finally, went in and meditation was over, and he asked Krishna, who are you meditating upon? He said, Grandfather Bhishma. Vasu Mana. And his explanation was, greatly afflicted and lying on the bed of arrows, Bhishma Dev remembered me at the last stage of his life. Because of his remembrance of me, O best of men, I now always remember him. Vasu Mana. Krishna, whose mana is always upon Vasu. Our process is highly personal. We're just lazy. And worse, we're prone to make offenses. So, what's the remedy of those offenses? Well, there has to be this humility. Trinadapi sunichena, tororapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena. Then this kirtaniya sadahari can follow. So, the mood of humility is essential in this process of surrender or taking shelter. Because otherwise, if you're not humble, who needs to take shelter? I'm big. I look out for myself. If there's a problem, I'll deal with it. In a tava, or humble mood, the quality of dina, feeling oneself not qualified, helps one to look within, introspect, and see what our shortcomings are, and see our practically fully dependent position, and from that, conscious sadhana, not the other kind, mechanical or satisfied. And in that not satisfied, then all those other feelings. Feeling alone, feeling disturbed in her mind when something out there doesn't go right, and feeling fearful. So in this dinatva position, feeling humble, we and surrender to Krishna. This is from Padma Purana. I like this very much. Ma represents ahamkar, false ego. And na is negation of that ahamkar. Thus, by uttering namaha, one negates one's independent attitude. Now, it's really easy just to say namaha. You know, like nama om Vishnu Padaya, just, you know, blah, blah, blah. But to enter into the mood of submission and surrender, what it says, and those of you that chant Gayatri Mantra, namaha is throughout the Gayatri Mantras. And it's not just another two syllables. It's a submission. The jiva is dependent on the Lord. He lives with dependence. Therefore, one should completely reject the idea of accomplishing by one's own capacity anything. Nothing is left to be accomplished by the ability of the Lord. Consigning one's body to the Lord, one should serve Him. So that starts from the heart, not just the body doing service. The body does service, but where does it spring from? It starts when we do chanting Hare Krishna and the awakening of the desire to be in Krishna's service. But if it's just mechanical chanting, if it's not this conscious sadhana in the mood of na maha, not in false ego, but from the platform of the soul, that's surrender. And very advanced devotees, they're very interested in the Lotus when they entered into the by the gates of Vaikuntha. The Lord came out and they were very fascinated by His lotus feet. Another very nice prayer about the shelter of Krishna and the inspiration or my dear Lord, O Master of the universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize that all other so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoof print of a calf. Now there may be water in the hoof print of a calf. And that's nice. Ocean of water is insignificant. The happiness of sense gratification or fruitive activities, there's something to keep people going. And because they're absorbed, abhinivesh, dutiyam abhinivesh, they're absorbed in things, something other than Krishna. Shower of nectar coming from the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's what we want, not the hoof print of a calf, but the lotus feet of Krishna. And next is our last slide. Another nice prayer. Rupa Goswami is taking the main spotlight today from his Namastaka prayer. The tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls such as Narada and Shukadev. O Hari Nam, I take complete shelter of you. Poetically, it's exquisite. And practically speaking, the Vedas have as their crown jewels, just like a king may have some many jewels in his treasury. But amongst those jewels in his treasury, some are considered the most elegant or the crown jewel, considered the crown jewels of the Vedas, and they're radiant and the radiance of the crown jewels of the Vedas, the Upanishads, are worshipping the radiance coming from the lotus feet of the holy name, the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name. The poetry is just wonderful. And, like Purnashuddho Nityamukto, the name is in the liberated position. So those who are liberated souls, they worship the name because that's the source of their liberation. And the name is always in a fully liberated position. So if we would like relief of distress or, you know, the bliss of transcendental life, these two things, Shubhada and Kleshagni, take shelter of the holy name, just as Uddhava was saying. That's the verse for this evening. So we'll be exploring, while we're together, this process of surrender. Primarily the focus will be Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, his songs on the process of surrender. It's taken directly from, we'll discuss it a bit tomorrow, taken directly from Padma Purana, as Rupa Goswami did in his nectar devotion. And there are different aspects or limbs or features of surrender. And we'll hear from Bhaktivinoda Thakur about that to help us go more deeply. Whatever stage you are in your chanting, to go more deeply in the mood of taking shelter. Then it's beyond, like, dispelling struggles and things. It goes way beyond that. Goes way beyond that. So let's see how deeply we can dive into the ocean of surrender with the help of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Rupa Goswami and our other great acharyas, our founder acharya Srila Prabhupada. And kirtan. So tomorrow it's our preparation for the 64 round day, and then Sunday is take those things in the association of the devotees and go deeply into the holy name. Any comments or questions? Do we have a portable microphone? Good. Is that anyone? Okay, over here. Raise your hand again. No question, we'll just have kirtan for a while.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In that slide, it was said like, when we begin the sound of Krishna, he will listen. The very sound of the...
Not just listen, he becomes attracted.
He becomes?
Attracted.
Attracted. That refers to the name which is uttered with... inoffensive, like pure name, or even inattentive?
Even in the case of Ajamila, who wasn't even intending, so it certainly wasn't pure.
Not necessary that it should be.
Sanketa Namabhas, technically. He was intending something else, but Narayana heard and he became attracted. Oh, he's calling my name. I must go at once. So it's not necessarily pure. When you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, here's another way of saying the same thing. Immediately Krishna is there. Right? The sound, immediately Krishna is there. But not just, it's not a mechanical, like, you know, energy thing. It's a personal thing. Krishna is attracted. not only in Shuddha Bhakti stage. So what to speak of the Shuddha Bhakti stage? This discussion takes place in the first chapter of Canto 7, where he asks Narada, what happened? We saw Shishupal merge into Krishna's body. How'd that happen? And just see the power of the holy name. Even in derision. What to speak of? So it's not only in Shuddha Bhakti or Shuddha Nam. Namabhas. Not Nam from Aparad, but Namabhas. That means, you know, trying to overcome our distractions, etc. Okay.
Thank you, Mark. Maharaj.
Oh. Okay. Thank you.
So I was wondering, so surrender is what keeps opening the door into deeper and deeper.
Yes. And say it the other way. Supposing surrender slackens, or in Bhaktisiddhanta's language, submission, pranipat, no, tadvidi pranipatena. Supposing submission slackens. Not exactly Krishna slams the door, but we slam the door. We close the door. The heart closes. The sun keeps shining, but we go hide under a rock. Submission slackens. Or surrender slackens. So, Krishna is still there. But if the heart, if we're chanting in the mechanical fashion, but being inattentive without the mood of shelter taking, we feel it. Yes? And conversely, we feel it. If the heart is open and some, you know, and it can be, you know, many times when we have events like this, we have 64 round day, someone is trying and it seems like it's just dry. But that's, you know, it can be a number of things, but you know, it's part of a relationship with Krishna where he wants to see our commitment and dedication to him, and our, you know, and then it changes. It's part of the loving relationship with Krishna. Krishna may seem to be far away. Like Madhavendra Puri, what shall I do now? You're my everything. And you've gone away. What shall I do now? So there can be stretches of time when we're chanting where it's like that, but the heart should be in that mood of full submission. And then transcendentally we can understand there's something going on in my relationship with Krishna. Another is mechanical, and we're looking for happiness, we're looking for peak experiences in japa or something like that, and you follow? Okay. Could you take the microphone over back here? Raise your hand again, please.
Prabhu, I have a small question for you.
Small question, okay. Okay.
We are seeing sun and everything morning. When you get up from the bed, we are able to see sun and everything in the form of God or anything like that. But why we are unable to see Krishna in the form of Krishna? Why Arjuna is able to see Krishna, but why we are unable to see Krishna in the form of the same one? That is my doubt. It lies on me That way is why I am unable to see Krishna. I want to see directly. So, can you give me like what are the ways where we can see Krishna directly? Yeah.
Could you take the microphone? I have experience with this. Several things. I'll just do three of them. One, we don't have the eyes to see, and therefore we cannot see. Meaning, it's not with these eyes that one can see, as with these eyes one can see the sun. With these eyes we cannot see Krishna. Well, what kind of eyes do we have to see Krishna? In Brahma Samhita, the explanation is given where the anjana, or the ointment of prema, is coating the eyes. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. Santaksa daiva hridayeshu vyoke valokayanti. Yam shama sundaram achinchuguna sarupam. One can see the form of Shamasundra when one has eyes of love. And even when looking at a tree or the sun or whatever, you'll see Krishna. But not the physical seeing, but the spiritual seeing, because his form is spiritual. Second point. This is, you know, that's how. Here's why not. So why not is Krishna reserves the right. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata mudhoyam nabhi janati. Prabhupada's explanation, Krishna reserves the right to not show himself before people who are inimical. Now, you're not inimical, you want to see Krishna, but the purpose of seeing Krishna is not your enjoyment, the purpose of seeing Krishna is service. So now, the third point. So you can't see because Krishna reserves the right to reveal himself. He can reveal himself. No problem from his side. But what's our qualification? So the third point is, the eagerness to see Krishna should be preceded by the eagerness to be in service to Krishna. In the matters that I was just describing earlier during the class, is the residents of Vrindavan, the six Goswamis, they were able to see Krishna. But their mood was, where is Krishna? And searching for Krishna, like the gopis. Were searching for Krishna. Now they were able to see Krishna during certain parts of the day, but when they weren't able to see Krishna during the other parts of the day, they're searching for Krishna. Like these nice prayers of Rupa Goswami, Krishna's returning from the forest of Vrindavan. So the mood is the eagerness to see Krishna is good. Last part of your question is how to see Krishna. Like first was why can't we, then how to. So the mood of service. Being in the mood of the service. And the best way to be in the mood of service to Krishna, according to Krishna's words, is to be in the service to those who are dear to Krishna. There's a whole string of verses, 50. But one very popular one is Krishna speaking to Arjuna in Adi Purana, where he says, one who claims to be my devotee, he's not my devotee. One who's the devotee of my devotee, that's my devotee. There's a number of others. So the best way how to qualify yourself or get to the position in this lifetime where you can see Krishna is to become very absorbed in the service of those who are dear to Krishna. Krishna then becomes pleased. It's common sense. Here's Prabhupada's example. Really simple common sense. if you want to see a big man, it's difficult. But supposing you make friends with a son, or the big man is going for a walk in the park, because Prabhupada would go for walks in the park, and the big men would have their dogs. And you go and say hello to the dog. You scratch the dog under the chin and pat him on the head, and you've made friends with the big man who has a dog. Very practical. So if you want to see Krishna, become dear to one who is dear to Krishna. Krishna's dog. Krishna's dedicated, humble devotee. Become dear to that person, you can see Krishna. That's the eligibility. And otherwise, Krishna's not so interested. I mean, we don't have the credential, the adhikar. Humble submission to Krishna's devotee, serving them includes what we're doing right now, just hearing Rupa Goswami's messages and messages of these great personalities. That's service to them. And then become the servant of those messages. Take those messages and bring them inside and serve accordingly. You become dear to them. You receive the gifts they want to give. They're happy. You become dear to them. Then you become dear to Krishna. That's how. Yes? Last question, then we'll break.
Guru Maharaj, you were explaining surrender means feeling safe.
Well, the result of surrender is being in a place of safety. We're feeling protected and sheltered. And danger can come, but danger can't harm because there's protection. A really nice example, there's several that come to mind right now. A really nice example is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the attempts to kill Prahlad by Hiranyakashipu. So one of those attempts was he had his henchmen take him to the top of a cliff and throw him off the cliff into the jagged rocks below. Commentary. Lord Vishnu let Prahlad fall just before hitting the rocks. He wanted to see, what's Prahlad going to do? He could have rescued him right away. But Prahlad didn't become disturbed. And there was Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu caught him. Another, Judd Bharat. Judd Bharat was so absorbed in Krishna, or realization of transcendental shelter in the personality of Godhead, that when the so-called worshippers of Goddess Kali were going to chop him up and make a human sacrifice, he didn't protest, he didn't become fearful, he didn't call out. He was saved, but, you know, there was a detachment in an extraordinary degree. We wouldn't do that. And so forth. That's only possible. It's not a cosmetic. It's something inside, where there's actual shelter. Then the sense of being protected is there. We heard this nice description in Dwarka, well, in Ardhyatra, Narasimha Mehta, and his sense of, you know, Krishna will take care. I just engage in singing the glories of Krishna. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.